for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, July the 9th, 1993. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Well, we can use some more of that. That wake everybody up.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We've had a lot of teaching this week already to all of us who've been here all week. To those of you who haven't, well, that. But Brother Frank and Doc and almost every subject, it seems like, has been covered at least partially. But we're still learning. So I don't know what Irma's going to talk about this afternoon, but she's going to come here for a while, and whenever she gets through, if there's any time left, why, I'll talk about a subject or two, real short, if I have any time, but if I don't, that's okay, too. But she's going to come and talk for a while here, whatever the Lord's give her. Now, you've been having good meetings upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and been having good meetings down here, and then when we all get back together, we've been having good meetings. It's really been anointed of the Lord every service, and it's just been wonderful. Okay, are you talk? Let's see if we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh yeah, kids. I
let them stay.
Yeah. Well, they may have something that they want to do.
Tomorrow,
so. Huh?
We have one thing planned today and we'll be here tomorrow.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Gentlemen, ladies, dismissed.
Well, we've had a lot of meetings. I know what he meant when he said, is that only Friday? I could stand it to be Sunday at noon. Because it is a long conference. Bring me up a little higher, Glenn. We've had battles here this week with viruses, and I have been one of them that caught it. But I'm better, praise God. I sure wasn't very good yesterday. I know you're not supposed to get up and talk about all the negative things, but I mean, truth is truth. I couldn't even talk yesterday, and I could hardly stand on my feet. In fact, I just felt like keeling over and going to bed or something. But you know, we're young enough, we don't need to go to bed with the chickens anymore. But I bet I do next week. You can turn to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to talk about bondages. Bondages. 1 Corinthians 12. Bondages. How many think you've got some bondages yet? Sure, we have a lot of bondages we don't even know we have. But we want to get rid of them. Now, the troublesome spirits bring us into bondage. I'm going to read you just a little bit about, I looked it up in the dictionary, what bondage means. You know, we have an idea what it means. It means subjection to compulsions. Bondage to eating. Bondage to drinking, maybe. Bondages to smoking. Bondages to worry. Bondages envying. Bondages of jealousy. And bondages of fear. How many have had fear? Fear has torment, doesn't it? Well, we don't need any bondages to fear and compulsive eating, and we don't want to have all of these influences coming against us that binds and restrains us. They're like fetters on us, and they're like shackles on us. I'll never forget the first time I was ever prayed for deliverance. Now, I didn't know I was in a lot of bondage. I knew I had some demons. I had never heard about it before until I heard Derek Prince preach, and I knew I had plenty, but I was plenty afraid of him. to go up. I had lots of bondages to that man, but I loved him, but I wanted to stay clear of him. But one time this man came to our house, and he had told us he wanted to come and pray for Glenn and I. And we needed prayer. And we were really skittish. Now, that was in 1966, was it, Glenn, or 67, and there wasn't any teaching. There wasn't one single book on deliverance that I'd ever seen. Not one single book. Until Derek Prince wrote that little one. We have it back there. It used to be a quarter. Now it's a dollar. But when I heard him, I knew. And so this other preacher came to Los Angeles, and somebody, I don't know how we ever found out about it, he was having a meeting down in an old hotel. I called it a rat hole hotel. Down on Figueroa, you know where that is. And it was an old hotel that had been closed, but he got the ballroom open, and we were in a ballroom. And I mean, that preacher wanted to get everybody free. He wanted everybody to enter in to the gifts. He wanted everybody to sing. He wanted unity. He wanted everybody to dance in the Spirit when he'd call for dancing before the Lord. And if you didn't dance, he'd come and pull you out in the front and dance with you. Well, you know, being a Pentecostal preacher's daughter, we were against dancing all the way. And that was the first time we'd ever seen any dancing. Can you remember back any dancing in the Spirit before 1966? No. Boy, that was sinful. We've all had to change, haven't we? But I remember he came, I told you the other night, he came to our house and he prayed for us. After 7 weeks of meeting, I would never go down in front to get prayed for. I was a little too proud, and much too proud, and I didn't like his tactics too well. That was when we had the beehive hairdos. He used to drink a glass of water, and then he'd walk down the aisle, and if he saw some prissy woman, he'd throw water on your beehive. And he said, I like to watch them sizzle. Because that would make you angry, wouldn't it? Yes, and so he came out to the house, and when he prayed for me, I could hear chains drop off of me. I could feel them. They were around my middle, and they were around all over, and they were clanging down as they dropped off. I was so shackled, and I felt so wonderful. I remember the next day, we used to have a lot of strawberries growing in our backyard in California, big strawberries, beautiful. And we'd gather them in by the gallon. In fact, they got to be too much work. Every night we'd get home from work and we'd have to go out there and pick those strawberries, and then I'd have to can them or freeze them. But anyway, the following day after I got that first deliverance, which I thought I was totally delivered, of course I was only barely delivered, but I was free. And I was home alone, and I was singing and dancing before the Lord and praising the Lord and just talking in tongues and just worshiping Jesus. Because I felt so free. I didn't have all those fetters on me, and I didn't have any care or fear. It had all left me, I thought. About 3 days went by. Glenn went downtown one day. It was at the time we weren't working too much. We'd sold 2 publication houses, and we were just sort of goofing around and resting. Glenn went downtown, and all of a sudden, I saw in my mind's eye a monster in the backyard. I started to go out to hang up a blouse I'd washed out of my hand, and I was too afraid to go out. And that fear had come back on me. I mean, terrible fear. And I couldn't wait till Glenn got home. And then we didn't know what to do, so we had to call the man and tell him. What had happened? He said, oh yeah, well, that fear's come back on you. I'll pray for you. And he prayed for us over the telephone. And it left again. But we get shackled by many, many things. How many feel you're shackled here this afternoon? Held captive in some way. Yes. It might be eating. It might be cigarettes. It might be drinking. It might be laziness. You might not be reading the Bible like you should. It might be all of these things that are encompassing about with life and the cares of this world, and we're not doing what the Lord would want us to do. And these things will hinder us. If we don't stay in the Word, we're going to be hindered. We won't be able to tell Satan, it is written. It is written. It is written. So these spirits of hindering spirits can provoke you, and they can drive you back. They want to push you back all the time. I have been sitting in meetings or standing in meetings praising the Lord, and all of a sudden I'd feel two hands touch me right here and push me back. Well, I learned after a while not to be afraid of that. I just moved forward and say, no, get away from me. Look, leave in the name of Jesus. But I'm telling you, there are many people that are shackled in here this afternoon. They aren't quite as free as they'd like to be. I'm not as free as I would like to be. I'd like to be totally filled with the Holy Ghost, 100% filled. 30% is not enough, although it's wonderful. 60% is not enough, but it is wonderful. But 100% must be really wonderful, and I don't really know what that's like, because I don't believe I've ever... Well, I guess I have met a few people that I felt was totally full of the Holy Ghost. So anyway, we're going to take this up this afternoon, and we're going to read some scriptures, and we're going to talk mostly about blockage of the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life. Do you feel the gifts of the Spirit's operating totally in your life? Or do you need more help? We all need more help. We have to learn to yield to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and He moves through us. He speaks through us. But we need in these last days of this end time we're living in, we need to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit and in discerning of spirits too. Discerning of what spirit, people? They might be talking in tongues, but it might not be the true Holy Ghost. It might be kind of mixture, a lot of mixtures. So we're going to take that up this afternoon about these demons that block us, that keep us from moving into the gifts of the Spirit. Now I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians 12, that's the scriptures about the gifts of the Spirit. How many have never given a message in tongues in here? Put up your hand, being real honest. You've never given a message in tongues. How many have never interpreted? Oh, we have a lot of interpreters here that's already going. How many here have never had a word of knowledge? Or the gift of faith work through you. We need all these gifts. Now let's read them. Now there are diversities of gifts, 4th verse, 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. It's the same Holy Ghost. In us, when the Holy Ghost is residing in us, we have all 9 gifts of the Spirit. How many believe that? They're all in here. They're resident in here, but we don't know how to let them flow out of us. We need to learn to let them flow out. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. A-double-L, all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom. And every day it is essential, I believe, as a Christian, to pray for wisdom. For wisdom, for this daily life of living. We need the wisdom of the Lord. To another, the word of knowledge. We need to be able, when the Holy Spirit prompts us, to bring forth a scripture that will be pertaining to whatever problem we have or whatever it is that we need. So we need the word of knowledge. We need a word of wisdom. And to another, faith. Now, there's simple faith, and then there's the gift of faith. I think it's different. I don't know. I guess, Brother Tommy, do you teach that the gift of faith is different than just simple faith of having faith? You know, I have faith in my brakes to the car. I don't go down the street and try my brake out every minute. You know, we just have faith in a lot of things. But He wants us to have faith in God and the workings of the Holy Spirit and the gift of faith. The gift of faith has a lot to do with the next one's the gift of healing by the same Spirit. It is healing. The gifts of healing, many kinds of gifts of healing. It might be healing for eyes. Some people have that function. Some people have healing for ears. Some people have healing for skin. Some people have healing for backs, but they don't seem to be able to believe about anything else. It's just they have this simple one item, which is all right. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful when people can, when you can watch people pray for blind people and they're suddenly healed, because they have the gift of faith to heal eyes. To another, the working of miracles. Now, every time there is a deliverance in here, it is a miracle. And you may want to see miracles of people walking out of wheelchairs, but I'm telling you, it's a miracle to walk out of these chains and become unshackled. It is a miracle, and we need to praise God for miracles. We've had a lot of miracles here this week. We've had some visible miracles, and next week when you get home, you will be so different. You'll feel so different. Now, the enemy will come at you because, you know, he's not dead yet. He's not dead. But you can say to him, it is written. It is written, Satan. Yes, I did get delivered from that spirit of fear. Yes, I did get delivered from that spirit of jealousy. You're not going to put that back on me. Get out in the name of Jesus. Go. You have to speak up to the enemy. You cannot be passive, and you cannot be lazy about it, and you can't think, well, oh, well, I guess I'm just imagining that. Have you ever done that? Just thought, well, I must be just imagining that. But I'm telling you, he'll take one little inch if he can, and then take a mile. So you've got to always be on your guard, and you need these gifts of the Spirit. You need, we got to miracles, and now we're going to get to prophecy. Prophecy. Now, Brother Tommy has a beautiful gift of prophecy, and a lot of us have prophecy, but maybe not as fluent, or hasn't practiced it as much, or hasn't allowed it to yield. We have to learn how to yield to the Holy Ghost. We have to learn, when the Holy Ghost starts rising up in me, it rises up like fire or heat or warmth, and he will try to let me know what he wants to do. But it takes a little listening to his voice, the still small voice of the Lord. It takes a little practice. I remember when we were in the same meeting where this man was throwing water on us, he would ask how many people had never given a message in tongues, and he'd line us up and he'd pray over us to release the gift of the Spirit of tongues. And if we said five words, you'd have thought we had just performed a great feat of miracles. But you see, that gives you confidence. It gives the person confidence, and it gives them joy inside, because the enemy will come and say, well, you just did that. You just did that yourself. You didn't really get the Holy Ghost. You're just imagining you got it. You don't have the real thing. How many have ever had the enemy talk like that? My dad had divers tongues. When I got the Holy Spirit, I had a piddly little tongue that, you know, it was the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't developed. And the enemy would say, you don't have the real thing. He'd tell me that. You don't have the real thing. Look at your dad. He has divers tongues. And I wouldn't know what to do. Sometimes I would even feel like a dummy. I could excel in the world, in my books and in business, but I could not excel in the Spirit, and I didn't know what was hindering me, and I didn't know what to do. Have you ever been in such consternation you don't know what to do?
Yeah.
And you need some help. We need each other, and we need ministries to lay hands on us and pray for us, because everybody, if the Holy Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit, is resident in us, and he is, then we need to have to learn how to release him. Now, usually Chuck Flynn has a release class. Now, he never did have a release class till he sat under the same minister that we're talking about, that we sat under, Brother Duncan. And I remember when Chuck came in and he saw, now he had a release himself, but he didn't know how to release it to the people. But he, when he saw Brother Duncan releasing all of us, right away Chuck began to release people in his meetings. And it's such a help. It's such a help for your own spiritual being to understand. You know, you see people just using the gifts of the Spirit, and you think, what's wrong with me? I love Jesus. I have the Holy Ghost. What's wrong with me? And I used to think I was just a dummy. I didn't know what to do about it, because that was the enemy talking to me. To another, divers kinds of tongues. Well, I finally have gotten divers tongues like my dad used to have, I guess. In fact, I don't worry about it I don't. Yes, honey.
What side of the tongue?
All different kinds. Speaking different languages, different times. You know, sometimes you speak loud, and sometimes you're speaking soft, and sometimes you're speaking with force, like fire coming out of your mouth. It looks like lightning coming out of you. It depends how the Holy Spirit. He prays perfectly every time. He prays perfectly through us as we yield to Him, and as we learn to yield to Him. Diverse kinds of tongues. And I think that every time our tongue changes to a different language, we have moved up into a different realm of the Spirit. We've come up higher in the Spirit. Now, some people just have two or three words, and they might be satisfied with that. I never was satisfied with that, but I didn't know what to do until this man released us. And this afternoon, is this all right? We're going to have some releases. So you won't feel like you're being cheated or there's something wrong with you. It's just that we don't know how to yield, and Satan uses that. He just loves to hit us over the head with something to discourage us. How many get discouraged sometimes? You just don't know, how come they're so spiritual, and how come I read my Bible, and I pray, and I go to church, and I don't know what to do when I get in church. I sit there and wait for everybody else to pray. I wait for everybody else to do it. But we all need to be doers, don't we? To another, the interpretation of tongues. I think the best way to learn to pray in tongues and to interpret is to pray like a few syllables of your tongue and then ask the Lord to give you the interpretation. And the first words that come, if it's only one or two words, say them out loud, and then the rest of it will come. Now let's try that. Who would like to speak just a few words in tongues, and then we'll pray that you might interpret? Who's brave enough? I'm going to have some this black guy over here now. Now, he's a big preacher, and he is Rodman. We have Hillary Rodman Clinton. Don't laugh. You better be praying for her and her husband. Pray a few syllables in tongues, would you please? Let's all just move in the Spirit now. Okay. All right. Now, Lord, we just ask you to give the interpretation to him, and he will speak it forth. Now, just begin.
Father, I thank you for this meeting. I thank you, Father, for the revelation.
Mm-hmm. That's all. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who else would like to speak and be released to interpret? Okay. You want to come up here? It'll be easier. Well, I got on the mic, but don't be scared. Perfect love, cast out all fear, and I love you. Praise the Lord. Lord, I just release her right now. I release her to give a short message in tongues. Okay, just begin to pray in tongues. Louder. Okay. Now, Lord, we just ask you to give her the interpretation. First words that come into your mind, just start saying them. Jesus, we release her. We release her. That's right, Sam.
I love you, I love you.
I'll speak a few more words.
You're my child.
Mm-hmm. I love you. I love you. You're my child. That's good. You practice that at home. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. That was the Holy Spirit talking out to you, honey. Saying he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Well, praise the Lord. That's the way you need to practice to learn to pray in tongues and hear yourself give a message in tongues and hear yourself interpret. Now, Connie, I want to hear you pray in tongues. Good. Now, let's see. Reba. I want you to pray in tongues. Good. Lord, give her the interpretation now. Let it work right through her. Surely the Spirit of the Lord doth move mightily. We agree with that? In his people. Good. Now, I was looking at this other Reba. She thought she was going to get out of it. Got two Rebas here. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Loud. Lord, give her the interpretation. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Yes.
And here, I just imitated what I heard, so I've never done it
spontaneously. Well, Lord, we just ask you to do it spontaneously. Holy Ghost, come into her. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for her this week. Thank you, Lord, for bringing her out of Buddhism and into the light of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. And we just lay hands on her, and we believe that the Holy Spirit is going to just flow in. I want you to say, I am receiving the Holy Spirit.
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 I choose to speak in other tongues.
I choose to speak in other tongues.
I do not choose to speak in English now.
I do not choose to speak in English now.
Now. Okay, let's speak. Okay, say those words. It may sound like a baby, but that's all right. Louder. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Out of Buddhism into the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's do it again. Let's interpret it then. Holy Spirit just moves through her. Take her over. Holy Spirit. Just a few words. Speak a few words in tongues.
You're not getting anything.
Okay, we release her. Let's hold out your hands and let's release her again. She's coming out of a very dark world into this light of the Lord Jesus. We release her now. We release her to speak in other tongues. We release her to speak in other tongues in the name of Jesus. Just take a deep breath and breathe in the Holy Ghost. Drink in, he says, drink from the rivers of living water. Drink from the rivers of living water. Now, pray in tongues again.
Ashakala kabukala, kala kabukala. I feel kind of scared.
I know you feel kind of scared. Well, I got you right up here in front. You've come a long way since last Saturday night.
I don't think I'm going to be able to interpret it.
All right.
You forgive me?
Oh, well, you're forgiven. I think she did wonderful.
Like I would like to, but maybe it's not. I'm not ready.
It just takes a little bit more faith to interpret than it does to pray in tongues. Well, now let me see what I've got written down here. The Lord gave this to me. Oh. The manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit are essential in delivering God's saints. Well, we believe that. How many believe in visions? Well, we wouldn't be here if we didn't believe in visions, but I didn't really believe in visions too much until Glenn had the vision to come here, and he actually saw this river, and he described it to me umpteen times, which I didn't want to listen to it too much about it. But there are many visions that the Lord gives to a lot of people. Now, Glenn has a lot more visions than I do. I don't even have any dreams, hardly. I just lay down on the bed and go to sleep and rest. But sometimes I do. And one time a lady wrote to me, and she'd never been here, but she reads our paper, and she said, I've just had a vision about the campground, and I want to tell you about it. Well, that was a different vision I'm going to talk about. It's after we got here. When we first came here, we had a lot of persecution. I guess we still do, but not as bad as we had when we first come here. They called us snake handlers.
We didn't pay attention to it anyway.
I hope there's enough of the move of God here that gives us a little persecution. That's good for us. But this woman told me that she'd had a vision. She wrote to me, and she said, there are two things working against the campground. One is in the heavenlies, and one is working underground to undermine the campground. And at the end, she said, and the people that are working underground are the last people that you hired. Oh, I just was astounded. The last couple that we had hired was a couple that we felt the Lord had sent here. Now, this has been years ago, and he was a tremendous person, and they lived up here in one of the mobile homes. And then she said, there's another one that you have that's hired here, and they're working in the heavenlies. They're flying through the air, the spirits that's coming against you. Well, I could understand who that was, but I couldn't understand this other person. And I said to Glenn, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. But you know, the Lord had given this person a vision to warn us. And right away, it wasn't too long until we found out this one man's wife smoked. Well, we're against smoking here. And the man was to be our general manager. He sat up in the office and knew all about our finances and the campground and everything. And I just could hardly believe it, but it turned out to be true. It turned out to be true. There's a lot of people that have visions that write to us. Now, we don't go by visions, but we read them and we take notice. Because God warns people in dreams and in visions. And we need to be smarter than the serpents, don't we? Wiser than a serpent. But come to find out, the very person that was the flying demon was a woman that led the singing here. And her husband helped build these buildings. And they gave us all kinds of trouble to no end. But we couldn't see it. We couldn't see it. But see, we have to go through these learning processes to understand that the enemy is very subtle. He wants to cross us up. He wants to hurt us. But Jesus sends the Holy Ghost to warn us. You know, they were warned in a dream about Mary and Joseph were warned. They were warned. Otherwise, and Moses and all of these people in the Bible that were warned by dreams for their safety. So we take notice of visions and dreams. The blocking demons will keep you from God's best. They will keep you from confessing sin. Some people cannot bring themselves to even say out loud what sin they've committed because they think it is so bad that Jesus doesn't even know about it. And they don't want to say it. They don't want to confess. Well, we have to confess our sins, don't we? We have to do it, whether we want to or not. And it's hard to say, you know, that, well, Lord Jesus, I lied. That wasn't the truth I said. Or Jesus, I committed adultery. Or Jesus, I stole something. Or Jesus, I was very jealous. All these sins have to be confessed. You don't have to confess them to anybody but Jesus. I don't think you have to go through a priest. However, there are some things that you do have to confess one to another that you might be healed. There's a lot of people don't get healings because they do not want to confess their sins to somebody else. Some people don't even want to admit they're sick. I think everybody else must have known yesterday that I was half dead. I felt like I was with that throat. I didn't have to tell anybody, but I'm telling you, truth is truth. I'm not one to confess if I'm sick, not sick, like Kenneth Copeland's little boy. One day, this plumbing contractor from, where was he, from Oklahoma, he said to this little boy, he was only about 3 years old, he said, boy, you sure got a bad cold. His nose was running right down in his mouth. And he said, this little kid stood up just like his dad, you know. He said, that might be your confession, but it's not mine. But he still had a cold, you know. So if I'm sick, I'm sick. And I want prayer. And I got prayer yesterday. Praise the Lord. These blocking demons work in many, many ways to block you to move on. We want to move out of the 30-fold ministries. We want to move into the 60-fold. And how many want to move into the 100-fold? Well, there's many, many ways that the Lord will lead us and guide us. He will use people that you probably don't even like to help you, usually, she says, to help you. Or he'll use the most least person in the body of Christ to come and tell you what's wrong with you. You know, to shape up. Well, that's just the way he works, because we need all that. We need all that. We need to be abased every once in a while. Paul said, I know how to be abound, and I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. And I think Paul was abased many times. I think when they put him in chains, you know, here is the big apostle Paul, and they've got him in chains, and he's laying in a jail. So he knew how to be humbled, but he knew how to abound, didn't he? And Jesus did too. Jesus did too. Jesus has suffered everything that you and I suffer. He has suffered for our sins. He has suffered for our healing. He has suffered for our deliverance. He has. Can you imagine in the Garden of Gethsemane that everything, there's a fly here that is insistent on getting me. That's Beelzebub. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Jesus had to experience every sin that's in the whole world. That's in the whole world. You realize that? Every single sin, but he had to overcome. He had to overcome it. Every single. Think about the very worst thing of sin that you can think of, and Jesus experienced that in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Did he experience temptation?
Oh yes, he experienced temptation by Satan, but he never sinned. He was without sin. Well, he could have fallen, but he said, "It is written to Satan. It is written, Satan." That's how he answered him. It is written. But you see, Peter, here was Peter, one of the choice apostles, walked with Jesus every day. Peter was taught by Jesus. And when the chips were down, he didn't stand by Jesus, did he? He stood afar off. And then when somebody said, "You're one of them, aren't you?" And he swore and said, I don't know who that is. You see? But Jesus still loved him. Jesus took one look at him, and Peter saw that look, didn't he? And right away Peter ran out and cried and wept bitterly because he had denied the Lord. And we have to be very careful that we don't deny the Lord. Some people do not want to speak up for Jesus. They'll just allow something to pass by in a conversation, and they'll know it's not right, but they won't say anything. They just don't want to make any waves at all. I think we're going to have to learn to speak up in these last days. We're going to have to speak up for Jesus and get on his side and stay on his side. If we don't, we're going to be in terrible, terrible trouble. But there are many other things that Satan wants to block us with, but we've got to rise above it. We've got to move to a realm where we discern right away what this is. See right through it. And just say, "Halt, stop. Satan, you come no further. You come no further." Because we're going to be tried. He's trying us. Jesus allows the enemy to try us. And you know, I think that when God talked to Satan about Job, I'm not too sure I want God to talk to Satan about me.
Amen.
You know, but right away, he said, you go try and see. Well, we have to be very careful that we don't fall into that thing that Job fell into. We have to never deny the Lord. Never deny that the Holy Spirit is true. Never deny that you speak in tongues. They may call you a tongue speaker. They may call you all kinds of words. But just say, yes. Yes. Somebody asked me the other day, I don't know where I was, and they asked me how I knew something. I don't know if it's at a grocery store or what. And I said, because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, everybody gets silent around when you say something like that. And I didn't say it arrogantly. I just said, because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't remember the circumstance. But anyway, it just quiets people when you mention the name of Jesus. the Lord Jesus Christ, or just Jesus. I was telling the girls uptown, upstairs, that I was going to town one day, and I was crossing those old bridges, and they were very narrow and very treacherous and dangerous, really, and I saw this car coming toward me at the bridge way over by the Holiday, and I was at this end of the three bridges, and he was flopping around all over the highway, and I thought, well, he must be having a blowout and a tire, and he's lost control. But he just kept coming, kept doing it. He got on the second bridge, the middle bridge, and then he got on the bridge I was on. And when he was just almost up to hit me head on, I yelled, Jesus! When I yelled, Jesus, he straightened right up and swerved around me and went on. And I felt that was the enemy just trying to kill you, trying to put you out of commission. So it doesn't never hurts to call on the name of Jesus. It never hurts to pray about everything. If you're going to go buy a new car, you should pray about it. If you're going to go pray for the sick somewhere, you should pray about it before you get there. If you're going to go to the grocery store, you should pray for the Lord to guide you on what to buy. We need more guidance about what we do in our everyday life, daily, every day. There are many spirits, but I think one of the most treacherous spirit is the spirit of the occult. Most of us are victims of things that our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents have done. And it's been visited down upon us in our bloodline. And these sins and iniquities have been visited down upon us. And we are suffering because of that. And we don't understand that what's being visited down upon us is coming from our forefathers and these curses that has been put upon us. And as the Lord opens up to us for deliverance, we can see that the majority of people have been involved in some way with the occult, in your grandparents or your great-grandparents, or back in the family line, or even illegitimate children back in the family line, and we're suffering the iniquity of it, and the sins of it are visited down upon us. You say, well, that isn't fair. Well, that's what God says it is. God says he does. But the book of Joel says, I will cleanse your blood that has not been cleansed. And every day we should ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse our personal blood, our blood. Because it's in the blood that all these diseases hit us. It's in the bloodline with cancer and TB and arthritis and all those things. But we need a cleansed blood. And then the enemy cannot attack us in our bloodline. You see what I mean? Everybody understand that? We need to understand that Jesus has healed. He bore our healing for us. And we need to come to him and ask him. He said, ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you, and so on. But I think in the realm of Christianity, there are more healings needed than we've ever seen before. And I think these gifts of miracles are going to come forth to heal. And we're going to see cancers healed. We've had cancers healed here in the ministry here. We have had arthritis healed. Most arthritis comes from bitterness and eating the wrong foods and so on. And swelling of the legs and water retention, overeating, compulsive eating, all of these things have that come upon us in our bodies is because of either visited down on us, inherited arthritis, inherited TB, cancer, inherited cancer in our bloodline. So this afternoon, I think we will break. Glenn, I wish you'd kill this fly. We need to break these. Yes, get away from me in the name of Jesus. There it is coming back. In the name of Jesus. We're going to pray about the occult. We're going to pray about witchcraft. We're going to pray about these things that block us. I don't know, are you going to come first before we...
Go ahead and pray. I'll pray about what I'm going to talk about.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you'll pray too over there.
Yeah, okay.
Let's just pray in tongues a minute. In the name of Jesus, Kita la Makosti Andala Bakondalia Sandala Bakondalia Sandala Bakondala Bakondalia Sandala Bakondalia Sandala Bandovia Ida Bakori Mosindala Bakondalia Sandala Bandovia Bosanda Kandori Kissing Dover Sandala Bakondalia Sandala Bandovia Indala Bakosi Andala Bakosa Andaya Mosanda Yamosandala Bakondalia Sandala Bandovia. We come against all these blocking spirits in here this afternoon. We command you to leave in the name of Jesus. We break your power, this blockages, the blocking of the power of God that's not coming in here like it should, in the name of Jesus. We command all these spirits to go in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus. All the principalities and powers in the heavenlies, we push you back in the name of Jesus. We command you to go in the name of Jesus. We command you to go in the name of Jesus. We command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we ask for the holy angels to come, the warring angels to come and break through these powers that's come down on this campground this morning in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now we're going to pray about this occult. See, the enemy doesn't want us to, but we're going to do it anyway. If you've ever been to a fortune teller, or your mother has, or your grandmother has, or your great-grandparents have, then you're under a curse from the Lord. If you've ever played with a Ouija board, or your grandparents and so on, your parents all the way back, four generations, you're under a curse from the Lord of the occult. How many's ever played with a Ouija board or had tarot readings or card readings or all that kind of stuff? See, those are hindering spirits. They're blocking spirits to keep the Holy Spirit from moving through you. And so we're going to break those powers, and we're going to ask the Lord to forgive us and cleanse us from all of the things that we've inherited from our forefathers. Now, I told you the other day, I think that I'd never been to a fortune teller, but my mother had, and my grandmother, and my great-grandparents came from Germany, and they read palms. So I was under that curse and did not know it. And that can bring on sicknesses, that can bring on all kinds of sick illnesses and all kinds of catastrophes. It can bring in divorce, it can bring in adultery, it can bring in fornication. All these spirits have to do with the occult. So we're going to break those powers right now, and we're going to confess. Yes?
I had a grandmother who was a Jehovah's Witness.
Yes. These cults, if your parents or grandparents or great-grandparents or you yourself has ever belonged to a cult that doesn't believe in the blood of Jesus, or Jesus is the Son of God, Jehovah's Witnesses.
Judaism.
You mean the religion of the Jews?
Yes.
Well, they do lack something, don't they? They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus. Judaism. Judaism, that's right. And we're going to pray and ask the Lord to forgive us and deliver us out of the hands of the enemy. Okay? All right, let's bow our heads.
Dear Father,
we come in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us for those things that we've inherited from our forefathers, those things that we've done ourselves. Forgive us for reading horoscopes. Forgive us for reading uncouth novels. Forgive us for being in false religions. In Buddhism, in Shintoism, in Jehovah's Witness, Unity, Ekankar, and all the mind control religions. Lord, we want to be free from all this, from our ancestors, and from those that things that we have done. And all the sin that's in our bloodline, and all these diseases that we're prone to be adapted to because of something our parents have done, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. Lord, we don't want all these infirmities. We want to be well and healthy. We want to have a good mind. We ask you to deliver us from schizophrenia, insanity, divorce spirits, strife spirits, anger, resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness. What else? There's more. Gloominess. Negativism. False cults. Reading Jehovah's Witness books. Or Unity books. Or not reading our Bible. That blocking spirit that gives us something else to do instead of reading the Bible. Lord, we need forgiveness for that. Watching too much TV and not reading our Bible. Lord, not tithing our time. Lord, there's 24 hours in a day. And we need to tithe our time over 2 hours a day. For you, either reading, praying, or helping others to receive you. Lord, we need forgiveness for that. We have wasted many hours and much time watching TV, talking. Forgive us for excessive talking. Lord, our tongues need to be cleansed this afternoon. We need your blood to cleanse us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, you're our healer. You're our deliverer. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the King. You're the ruler. Lord, we yield to you this afternoon. We yield body, soul, and spirit unto you. Lord, we're calling out for deliverance from everything that hinders us. All these blocking spirits. All of these things that keep us from your very best. Lord, we want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We want to faithfully pray in tongues every day and release the Spirit to the people around us. Lord, we've neglected sometimes. So we ask you to forgive us for that. And Lord, we're gonna believe that you're going to deliver us out of the hands of the enemy right now. We thank you, Lord. Your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. We're calling on you now to deliver us from all the overeating, over-talking, wasting time, following after TV programs, and all the other things. Lord, we want to be different when we leave here today. We want to be free to move in the Spirit and pray for others. We don't want to be timid. We want to lead others to Jesus. We want to tell what you've done for us. Because you're the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb will influence more people than anything. Draw people by the Spirit. And Lord, we just ask you right now to begin to deliver us. In the name of Jesus. Now, we're going to come against the occult, everything that we've inherited from our forefathers in the occult, and all these sicknesses that we have inherited, the weakness for arthritis, or the weakness for TB, or the weakness for cancer, or any other disease, the weakness for gossiping, the weakness for talking so much. Lord, we just want all these deliverances to come forth today out of your people. And right now, we're just going to wait upon you And we're going to command these spirits to leave in the name of Jesus. And we're going to believe they're going to go. Now, you don't have to keep on praying. We're going to start calling these spirits out. And they're going to start coming out. In the name of Jesus, they're going to start coming out. We command all insanity to go now in the name of Jesus. We're binding all the mind control spirits in the name of Jesus. We're binding all of the false religions in the name of Jesus. We bind the powers of Buddhism and Hinduism and Jehovah Witness and unity and false tongues, false visions, false dreams. We bind all that in the name of Jesus. We command it to begin to come out in the name of Jesus. You spirits of fortune telling of the occult, come on out. Take a deep gut, little breath. Let them go. Cough them out. That's right. You got to get deliverance is means a delivery. You got to work at this a little bit. Push them out in the name of Jesus. Cast them out in the name of Jesus. Blow them out in the name of Jesus. Blow them out in the name of Jesus. Cough them out. Command you to go. Not reading the Bible. I command you to go. You spirits that hinder us from not reading the Word, not believing the Word, I command you to go now in the name of Jesus. 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 Jesus is Lord over these. Susceptible to sicknesses and weakness, spirits of weakness, weakness in witnessing, weakness in your body, I command them to go in the name of Jesus. Command them to go in the name of Jesus. Obesity. I command obesity to leave in the name of Jesus. Obesity. Compulsive eating. Compulsive smoking. Compulsive drinking. I command all these compulsions to leave. Addictions. Addictions to cigarettes. I command the cigarette spirit to go in the name of Jesus. Cigarette spirits, go in the name of Jesus. All addictions to alcohol. Addictions to food. Addictions to chocolate. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's all right. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. We don't care how they come out. Come on out of her. In the name of Jesus. All addictions. Addiction to food. Come out of her. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's right. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. Fear. Command fear to go. Command all fear to go. In the name of Jesus. Fear to go. In the name of Jesus. Command fear to go. In the name of Jesus. Command fear. Timidity to go. Command timidity to go in the name of Jesus. Command timidity to go in the name of Jesus. Timidity to go in the name of Jesus. That's right. Cough it out. Let it go in Jesus' name. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. You will be brave in the spirit. You will speak up. You will speak up to your students in the name of Jesus. I command it to go out of Connie right now in the name of Jesus. Go. Out of Brother Beckley, all timidity in the name of Jesus. What am I doing? In the name of Jesus. Well,
how do you get this off, Glenn?
All timidity, go. Take a deep breath now, let it go. Cough it out, let it go in Jesus' name.
Go.
No timidity at the plant where you work. No timidity. You will be a vibrant Christian. You will speak out against wrong. You will speak out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Prima Sandaya Masandaya. Ritalama Kusianda. Is this the baby that's sick? In the name of Jesus, we command this fever and this infirmity to go in the name of Jesus. Ritalama Kusanda Majoli Makusanda Lama Kusianda Lama Kusandaya Masandaya. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I bind all spirits in him. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to go. Bless Herman. Bind all infirmities in Herman in the name of Jesus. Let health come speedily to his body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Bless Elsie, Lord. Help Elsie in the name of Jesus. Kibras funda makunda masandaya. Puratala makusiandola makori masandaya. Hidana makusiandola makusiandaya. Retala ma bless this husband in the name of Jesus. Ritala makusandala makundiya sandala bandoria. Ritia mandolia masandala makum. this case, release her in the name of Jesus. Release her in the name of Jesus. We come against death in her in the name of Jesus. Spirit of death and the curse of death on her in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath, honey. Take a deep breath. Frozen emotions, you have to leave in Jesus' name. Frozen emotions in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let joy flow in. Let joy flow in Jesus' name. All schizophrenia and insanity, I command it to go in Jesus' name. Command it to leave in Jesus' name. Rasamandoli kimos sandala bandoli. Rasiandoli bakoria masandai.
You said it was
passivity. Yeah, we've come against that. Yeah. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in Reba's life. I thank you, Jesus, for what you've changed, how you've changed her life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for her growth in the Spirit. Thank you for her growth in the Spirit. Bless her, Lord. Bless this lady in Jesus' name. And all the infirmities in her body, we command them to be gone and recovery in her body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What? You smoke. Okay. You want to get rid of it? All right. She wants to get rid of addiction. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we release her from this addiction to cigarettes. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus cleanses her lungs. The blood of Jesus cleanses her body. The blood of Jesus cleanses her tongue. The blood, let me have the hand that you hold your cigarette in. Which hand? In the name of Jesus, we command these fingers to let go of those cigarettes in the name of Jesus and leave in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, release her. Release her in the name of Jesus. Release her. In the name of Jesus. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Denounce them. Denounce those cigarettes. What brand do you smoke?
Durrell's.
Durrell's be gone, that spirit that makes her want to Durrell. In the name of Jesus, we command that to go in Jesus' name. We command her lungs to be cleansed. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Anybody else with addictions to cigarettes or liquor?
How about those affected by passive?
Okay, passive smoke. Were parts of the family smoke? There are offices where you smoke, where people smoke. And it's a fog in there. Now they're not allowing it so much anymore, are they? The damage. All right, who wants to be delivered from the damage of cigarette smoke in the workplace where you worked, or your husband or your wife smoked and you didn't? All right, in the name of Jesus, we come against all these spirits that's connected with passive smoking in the name of Jesus. Cough them out. Breathe them out of your lungs in the name of Jesus. Come on out of her. Come on out of her. Passive smoke in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out of her lungs. Come out of her lungs. Weak lungs in the name of Jesus. Bronchial tubes. Mouth the bronchial tubes in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's pray against the infirmities. Infirmities. Arthritis. Anybody with arthritis? Stand up. Stand up. Arthritis. Stiff knees. Swelling of the legs. Swelling of hands. Okay. Water retention. Water retention spirits. Hold water in your body. In the ankles. Swelling of the ankles. Diseases of the feet. Gout or ingrown toenails or corns. In the name of Jesus, we're going to bind all these infirmities in the name. Everybody with me? Okay, we're going to breathe them out and cast them out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we renounce all these addictions, all these infirmities, all this arthritis, all this weakness, corns, pains in the feet, pains in the knees, pains in headaches in the name of Jesus, earaches in the name of Jesus. I command these infirmities to leave their bodies now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go. Leave her body now in Jesus' name. Rikamasunda. Obesity, leave in Jesus' name. Compulsive eating, leave in Jesus' name. You're defeated. She don't want you anymore. She don't need you anymore. All addictions and all infirmities, arthritis, cancer, and tumors. Cancer and tumors. We command cancers and tumors to drop off right now in the name of Jesus. Leave in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Out of her legs, swelling in her body. In the name of Jesus. Perfect health comes speedily to her body in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command health to come speedily to Connie's body, whatever infirmity she has. Passive smoke.
And then water retention.
And water retention in the name of Jesus. Water retention and passive smoke. Go in Jesus' name. Leave her body now in Jesus' name. Help it out. Let it go in Jesus' name. Heart, let it go. Rika Mosundaya, come out of her now. Water retention spirits, come out of her. You can sit down if you want to. That's right. In the name of Jesus, come on out. Out of her lungs from her mother smoking and her having to breathe it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I already crossed.
Oh, yeah, okay. What about the water retention?
No, we worked on that just now.
All right. Water retention. Water retention in her body. Water retention. Water retention. Command this bladder to carry this water retention off. That's right. In the name of, come on out, infirmity. Come on out, infirmity. In the name of Jesus. Rikama Sunda Bokori Nasunda Lavandori. Rikama Sunda. The kidneys and the bladder to operate perfectly in the name of Jesus. Kidneys and bladder. You can sit down if you want to. It'll be easier.
I'm a little warm.
Yeah, that's right. All right, come on out. In the name of Jesus, come on out. Infirmities in her body, and weakness in her body. In the name of Jesus, command it to go. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. That's good. Praise God. Through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let healing now come to these organs in her body. In the name of Jesus. Let healing come. Praise God. Your lung is in.
It's in the grave.
Okay, let me come down and I'll pray. Smoke coming from the workplace and smoke coming from her husband in the name of Jesus. Yes, we hate this nicotine spirit. We hate this smoke that has come in and injured her lung in the name of Jesus. We command it to leave. Now just take a deep breath. All cleanse out her lungs, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit just do a deep work in her lungs to cleanse her. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord over her lungs. We thank you, Lord. Yes, all passive smoke that's hurt her lungs or her bronchial tubes or her throat, her nasal passages, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for health in all of her flesh. Health. He wants us to prosper and be in health. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Anybody back here sick? Thank you, Jesus. It's your turn, Glenn.
Well, I won't talk too long. She's said she was going to be short. And... oh, that's all right. That's okay. Amen. So, we've been being taught all week here, and I just thought that I would, for some of us, some of you and me too, that I might refresh our memory just a little bit about some of the things that we've been praying for. Doc talked about this yesterday quite a bit, in a way. And so let's go to Exodus 20 for here, and we'll just go over three or four scriptures, and then I will be through here. So if we can get your Bible and turn over to Exodus chapter 20. I want to give you scripture for the curses that we're under. A lot of people say, well, that can't be so. I'm not under any curses. But I'm going to give you some scripture and real quick. Exodus chapter 20 says, and the Lord spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of sin and out of the house of bondage. Egypt means sin. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. America's got lots of other gods. Cars and boats and pleasure and golf and all kinds of things. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not have any other god. You shall not bow down yourself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and the fourth generation of those that do not obey my word. King James says, hate me. But that is a more literal translation than a lot of your other translations say, those that do not obey my word. But then it says, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and do what? Keep my commandments. That's the key. Keep my commandments. Okay, so here it says that the Lord visits upon us to the third and the fourth generation, those that do not obey his word, those that have other gods, those that deal in the occult is another god. You have another god. And or those that make pleasure your god and put that before the Lord, that's a sin that will be visited to the third and the fourth generation if you do that. And, or your parents have. And now over in Deuteronomy chapter 23, we find a different statement here in the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy. It says, verse 2, it says, a bastard or illegitimate child, or that word bastard actually means mixed race. That's what the literal, if you look it up, that word means a mixture. Shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now we come to another statement. An Amorite or a Moabite, Deuteronomy 23, verse 2 and 3. I read 2, I'm reading 3. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation, shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. The Ammonite and the Moabite, we're not going to turn back to it, but that is Lot's children by incest. The Ammonite and the Moabite are the descendants of Lot, incest. So incest carries a ten-generation curse. The incest and illegitimacy carries a ten-generation curse. And the Lord says that shall not. Now, there's a lot of things that you can find and study as you run across things. And just for a sideline, I'll tell you why when the children of Israel wanted a king, why the prophecy had been given through Jacob, Israel, when he gave the prophecy to his sons and gave them their posterity. He prophesied to Judah that the kingly line, the scepter, would come through the tribe of Judah. But when they wanted a king, God gave them where? From Benjamin. But the word of the Lord said that it would be through Judah. Why did he give them a king from Benjamin? I wondered that for a long time, and I began to study, and the Lord kind of laid on my heart to run the genealogies. And when I ran the genealogy, I found that King David, who was the king after the Lord's own heart, could not be king, or Jesse could not be king at the time. See, if it had been in the kingly line, Jesse would have been king, David's father, instead of Saul in the tribe of Benjamin. And I began to study why that happened, and I run the genealogies, and I found that David was the 10th generation. The 10th generation of what? Incest. Remember? Judah had twin sons by his daughter-in-law. Incest. So Jesse couldn't be the king. Even if God would have wanted to make him king, God could not make Jesse king. Because God's own law said, 10 generations. David is the 10th generation. So the kingly line could not begin until David came, or David's brothers. David's brothers could have been king, as well as David, because they were in the 10th generation. But God's own law prohibited a king in the tribe of Judah until the generation of David came. Okay. There's lots of little things that you can search. Well, anyway, that's way off my subject here. But we're looking at the curses that God says we're under. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're just running these. We could spend all afternoon in what we're talking about here, but I'm giving you a quick 10-minute expose on the curses and what God says about it. In Deuteronomy 7, chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is what? An abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house. Why? Lest thou be a cursed thing like it." And cursed things carry generational curses. 4 generations, 10 generations, they carry generational curses. "But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." Lots of people inside the Christian family have lots of things that they bring into their house that are cursed. And when you do, you come under the curse of God. And you come under the objects, you come under a 4-generation curse. In sexual sins and in that area, you come under a 10-generation curse. But when you bring cursed things into your house, you're bringing a curse upon you and upon your house for 4 generations down through your family line. Unless you repent, ask the Lord to forgive you, and then break the curse of it off of your family line. Yes, sir? Well, owls, frogs, unclean things that the Lord calls unclean, a dragon. I'll give you a very simple one that some of you may not. Well, we know a Buddha is an unclean thing, but there's a little article written back there, "Have you got a Buddha in your house?" that Irma wrote. How many's got fish aquariums in their house? Anybody here got fish aquariums? Most fish aquariums have Chinese pagodas in them. You have brought an Oriental temple into your house if you have one in your fish aquarium. Well, the Lord says not to wear mixed clothing. And if you have clothing that comes from Korea or other countries, you need to, if it comes from there, you need to pray over it before you wear it. Break any curse off of it. A very simple thing is that you bring into your house, and don't even think about it, is a fish aquarium with a pagoda in it. Yes? Well, some of them you need to pray over those things. Yeah, primitive art. Pictures. We've had experiences with pictures that come from Korea or from the Orient somewhere, or Indian sand paintings. We had an instance where a picture talked. Another instance where a picture, like was it Doc was talking about, the room was on fire. I think it's here tonight. I don't know if you do it to the men or it was everybody. He's talked about he woke up and he smelt and the room was on fire. But we had know of an instance where a picture would do that in the night. It would light up and look like it was on fire, burning. And the child in the room would be hysterical. When they took the picture apart and pulled it apart, they found a prayer to Buddha inside the paper on the back of the picture. And then the paper glued over the back of the paper, you know, of the picture. But they pulled it apart, and in there, on the back of this picture, was a prayer to Buddha. So they had a foreign god in their house. So you don't bring an accursed thing in your house unless you become a cursed thing like it. Okay. And the Lord show you Mexican sun gods are toys. Oh, toys. There's lots of toys that you don't want in your house. Shirley can really tell you about this, the occult. And a lot of our toys today are after the occult things. That's what they're patterned after. So watch the toys you buy for your children, because they're patterned after the occult. And you're bringing an occult thing, a detestable thing into your house when you bring it into your house. Okay. Huh? Yeah, that's right. The wind chime is... most of them are satanic. They're a cult symbol. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 23. I'm about to run out of time here. Already have. Deuteronomy 23 says, verse 14, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give thine enemies up before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from you." You don't want an unclean thing in your house so that the Lord will see it and turn away from you or bring a curse upon you. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 45 says, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee." Now, we're not reading, but there's a whole list of curses that the Lord says. But the Lord says here that these curses shall come upon you, and shall pursue after you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you've hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and this word is his voice, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commands you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. So the Lord says that we're to serve him and keep his word and his commandments, so that all these curses will not come up on us. Lamentations chapter 5. Jeremiah, Lamentations. Verse 7. "Our fathers have sinned and are not." They've sinned and they're dead. "But we are bearing their iniquities." So the sins of the fathers have come down and are come down upon us, and we are bearing their iniquities. In Daniel chapter 9, what did Daniel do here? And this is what we do when we pray for our nation, as in a way. But here in chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 17, it says, "Now therefore, O our God," he's praying "our God" for all of us, not just for himself, "hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, for we are not present, for we do not present our supplications For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness," not because of our righteousness, "but because of your great mercies." Lord, we know you've got great mercy for us. "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and for thy people, which are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my fathers, my people Israel. And that's what the Lord requires of us, that we confess my sin and my father's sin, the sin of my fathers, and the sin of the nation, Israel. Daniel was doing that. And in so doing, then he was being an intercessor. But then we say, how do we be relieved and be set free from the sins of our fathers? Well, Galatians chapter 3 is our answer. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Jesus has become a curse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, as I was raised in Pentecost, I had the understanding that that verse applied to salvation when I got saved. And when I got saved, that took care of all the curses because Jesus had become my curse. And it took an act that God did here in this place to show us, I'm not going to tell you about it because it's time is gone, but to show us that the curses still existed and we were still bearing them. I didn't believe it. But God gave us a picture here that took place, that or an example that caused us to understand it. And in understanding it then, I realized what it was. It's, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And if we stop right there, everybody's saved. That's not the end of the verse. That whosoever believeth. And then I realized that the same thing is true with the curses. The curses are in existence until the Lord shows them to us or we pray about them and the Lord and apply and appropriate Galatians 3:13. We have to appropriate salvation. We have to accept it. We have to appropriate the fact that Jesus became my curse. I have to appropriate it. You appropriate it for the sins of your ancestors and your own sins, for what any curses, whatever you ask the Lord to show you, or just pray, take every curse that we got. There's a little book over there that's got 70-some curses in it that's listed in the Bible. Take it and go down every one of them and ask the Lord to forgive you and put the blood of Jesus against the sins of your ancestors and break the curse. Break every one of them. I believe that that we are under the curses clear back to Noah and Adam. And the Lord is slowly, little by little, He's revealing to us as we come out from under these things that are holding us in bondage and keeping us from being the servant of the Lord that we want to be and would like to be and desire to be. Amen. Well, okay. It's time to eat. But I'll pray before we go to eat. I'll pray for us, and then I'll pray for the food also at the same, in the same thing. Father, I come as a priest over these people this afternoon. I come and bring up my sins, the sins of my fathers, the sins of my ancestors. Father, I go back 30 generations in my ancestral heritage and in the ancestral heritage of those that are present here, Father. I take authority over the sins of our ancestors and the familiar spirits that come down through our ancestral line, Father, and I bind them and I break the dominion of them in Jesus' name. I put the blood of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, to separate between us and the sins of our fathers that we are bearing and the curses that we're under. And I take dominion over these curses and over these sins and I apply and I appropriate the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash and to set us free. And I break the curses from off of us and I loose us from the curse of the bastard, the curse of incest, the curse of fornication and adultery, the curse of not giving God the glory, the curse of not paying our tithes, the curse of not being faithful to the things of the Lord, the curse of not reading your word and believing it. I come against these curses that we have inherited from our ancestors and Father, many other curses that doesn't come to my mind now that we're bound by. The curse of the occult. Bind and break these powers, the curse of heathen gods.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.